May be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 129. Psalm 129, we'll read verses 121 through 128 together. Let me just review for just a moment. Psalm 119, verses 121 through 128. Did I say through 129? Sorry. I'm watching my wife back there and my daughter. They're going, okay, I said something wrong. Psalm 119, verses 121 through verse 128, okay? Let me review just for a moment, and then we'll jump into tonight's lesson. Psalm 119 is a very interesting chapter. We're going section by section through it. It has 22 sections. There are 8 verses in each section, and each section it has a little... You'll see the little doojigger up there. It looks like a Y, and then the word Ain after it, A-I-N. That is a Hebrew letter. That is the name of the Hebrew letter. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 sections to Psalm 119. There are 8 verses in each section, and there are 176 verses. Now, there are 8 words. And these 8 words are used over and over and over and over and over and over throughout this chapter and throughout the entire Bible, and they're all in reference to the Word of God. It's the word law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. There are only 2 verses in Psalm 119 that does not contain one of those 8 words, but the 2 verses that do not have those verses do refer back to God or Jesus as the Word of God, just so you know. So they all kind of refer to Him. And the Jews would use this chapter to teach their children the alphabet, just like we would use A for apple and B for blue or ball or boy, C for cranky, like my for my secretary's sake. But they would use those letters and the alliteration that goes with it and teach their children the letters of the alphabet and teach them to read based on the Word of God. Now, tonight's lesson, and I want you to jump in here with me and help me. And thank you very much. Psalm 119, verses 121 through verse 128. Let's read. You follow along silently. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things. Let me try that one again. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, tonight's lesson, and if you'll listen tonight, I think I'll be able to help you in a very special way. Everybody who is in any shape, form, fashion, or another involved in leadership, this will help you. If you're a parent, this will help you. If you are a leader at work, this will help you. If you're a teacher or a Sunday school teacher, or you work over somebody, if you're a wife leading your husband. Whatever the case, it is in an area where this will help you. Now, I say that to say this. In any area of leadership, you are going to face opposition. Did you ever notice that? It doesn't matter if you're a big brother leading a little brother, or a big sister leading a little brother, or whatever gender you want to go with that, you're going to face opposition. Doesn't matter if you're a parent leading your kids, you're going to face opposition. This section of Psalm 119 is all about leadership and its opposition. You see, in all leadership, there will be opposition. Now, let me make this statement. People want to be led until it's contrary with how they want to be led. People want to be led until it becomes contrary with how they want to be led. Pride causes man to go against leadership. Let me say that again. Pride causes man or lady to go against leadership. Man wants what's right in his eyes, not what somebody else's eyes see as right. Now, let me go just a little farther back and make this statement. This goes back to Satan or Lucifer in heaven. Did you know the first sin in the universe was a leadership issue? Satan did not want to follow what God said. Satan wanted the leadership instead of God having the leadership. Satan said in Isaiah 14, I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like God. In other words, I don't care what God says. I'll be my own God. I don't need him to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. Now, that's Bush's revised version, just so you know, all right? I have not written it, nor am I going to. I just was bringing it down to where we live. Satan's sin in heaven was a leadership problem. He did not want God leading him anymore, and he decided he was going to take the leadership. He wanted to tell God what to do. He did not want to do what God said to do. Now, listen to this very carefully. Let me put my finger on something that's very confusing to most people. Modern religion and modern people are guilty of the same thing. Let me say this again. Man wants to be led until man doesn't want to be led the way somebody's leading him. And pride is the reason that that comes about. Now listen to this very, very carefully. Modern religion and modern man are guilty of the same thing that Satan was. We want to tell God the terms that he must meet with us or he's not good to us. Isn't it amazing that when you pray and say, God, I've got to have this, and God doesn't give it to you, then God wasn't good to you? I don't understand that. You see, maybe God understood it wasn't good for you to have that, even though you thought it was good for you to have that. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang on here. I'm going to make another statement that's going to hurt. My dear people, when we look at God and say, well, God's not been fair to me. God's not been good to me. I prayed and this person in my family, they had cancer and they didn't get healed and God's not been good to me. They died. Can I tell you something? God's good whether that person lived or not. I talked with somebody just in the last week who lost a baby in the womb. And I told them and I made this statement. I said, that child will never see sin. That child will never see sickness, nor pain, nor death, never see war, the rumor of war, will never face any tragedy in its life, and that child will grow in heaven in a perfect environment, and I almost envious. By the time we got done, we were rejoicing, not that the child died, but that the child is in heaven right now. Can I tell you something? The average person will say, well, I can't believe God would do that. Maybe God did it to be merciful. Who are you to judge God? Who are you to tell God under what terms he must meet you at? Do you know if you went to the White House and you told the president under what terms you're going to meet him, you're going to be waiting there a long time? He's not there to meet you on your terms. You go there to meet him on his terms. Leadership has the right to dictate which direction things go. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on for a second. When we get this attitude against God of, well, I prayed and God didn't give me what I want, and God has not been fair to me, that is satanic. That's pride. Man, due to his sin, has a submission problem. Ouch. Now listen to this. That's why man's religion is based on what man does, not what God did. Let me say that again. That's why man's religion is based on what man does, not what God did. If you can get saved by being baptized or joining a church or living a good life or any act of something you did, that is man-made religion. You see, you living a good life is you telling God under what terms you will get saved. You getting baptized is something you do, and it has nothing to do with salvation according to God's terms. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. I want to help you with something. Those of you that are soul winners, this will bless your gizzard. I'm sorry, your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. I use this sometimes while out soul winning. If I've got a little tougher case, I'll use this. Verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Watch this. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Can I tell you something? There's only two kinds of religion in the world. Man does it, or God did it, and you accept it. Period. See, here's what that verse is teaching you. Man is going about to establish his own righteousness. Living a good life is man's righteousness. Being baptized is man's righteousness. Taking the Lord's Supper, or what they call sacraments, that's man's righteousness. Giving money to the church, that's man's righteousness. Lighting candles, whatever that's for, is man's righteousness. All those are things that we do, and the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. For man going about to establish his own righteousness has not submitted himself to the righteousness of God. The moment you realize you're not good enough to get to heaven and you need what Jesus Christ did for you because he is the end of the law of righteousness, he fulfilled it all. The moment you submit to that righteousness, you're saved. Salvation is an act of submitting your unrighteousness to the righteousness of God. That's why at salvation, God applies, he imputes Jesus' righteousness to your account. Because that's what you submitted to. Boy, that's a good thing, isn't it? Now watch this. Man's religion is based on what you do. Well, I didn't kill anybody. Guess what? There are men in the Bible who God used to pen the scriptures who you would call the greatest people of the Bible who murdered. Moses, David, the Apostle Paul, all of them. God used murderers in the Bible, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Now, watch this. This is why saved people struggle and listening to the Bible and obeying the Holy Spirit in the Bible. We try to do it without God. You see, we get saved and think we know it all. We think we're super spiritual. Guess what? That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. And when you're about to do something wrong, he starts bothering you. And you thinking, wonder if I should do that. It's not a matter of you wonder. You wonder if you can get away with that. Not if you should do that. See, that bothering in there is the Holy Spirit. And we're to listen to it. That's why one of the hardest things for you to do is to live that book. Because that means you have to do what God says, not what you want to do. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Here we go. We're going to get to the Bible study here in a second. This is all introduction. You see, this is all evidenced by how man oppresses leadership. Did you know all of us think we know more than our leaders? Isn't it amazing how many people know they could be a better president than the one we have right now? which in most cases would be true. But did you realize none of us are qualified to do that? You see, it's amazing how the college freshman knows how a Bible college or a college should be run. It's amazing how a first-year employee knows how to run a company. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's amazing how a teenager knows how to run a home. Man, it's getting quiet in here. I'm not sure if I'm preaching or meddling, Brother Jimbo. You see, it doesn't matter if it's the leader, or it doesn't matter if the leader is a parent, a boss, a teacher, a pastor. Doesn't matter if you're a soul winner. Doesn't matter if you're any level of leadership. You will face opposition because man is a sinner and his sin causes pride, and that pride keeps him from wanting to be led by somebody that actually knows more than he knows. Now, God says that the leader will be oppressed. Look at verse 121 in Psalm 119. It says, I have done judgment and justice. In other words, I have been a leader. I've been dealing with judgment and justice with people. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Now, the word oppress means to violate, to deceitfully get, to use up, to do violence or wrong against, to quarrel or argue against. Whew. Sounds like work to me, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how many people want to argue with you that they're right and you're wrong? It amazes me how many people argue over which way is right. Recently, somebody asked me about, there was a group of people knocking on their door, and I would call them cultish. And they said, well, how do you deal with them? I said, don't waste your time. I don't argue with anybody while I go out soul winning. I never argue. If they don't want to hear it, Jesus said, shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next one. You see, the devil wants you to stand there and argue. He wants you to argue to keep you from going to the one that needs to hear the gospel. Everybody doing okay? Okay, now watch this. God said that all of these things will happen. Oppression will happen because sin, like Satan, will cause man to oppress leadership. Only using the Bible and doing what God said or what God says for us to do will help you in your leadership. Listen to this statement. You're not going to stop the oppression, but the Bible shows us how we can use the Bible to help us get through the oppression. No leader can stop oppression, but every leader can go through the oppression and not let it affect him as bad if he'll use the Word of God. I'm going to make a statement here. No leader knows more than God. This preacher does not know more than God. No boss knows more than God. Nobody knows as much as God. That's why if you'll use that book, which are God's words, not man's words. These are God's words. You have a better chance of getting through the oppression of leadership as a leader and not letting it discourage you. Now, you need to realize the opposition is not to you, it's to God. Too many of us take opposition to leadership personally. Men or ladies, if you lead people at work, it's not that they're attacking you. They just are like Satan. They don't care who the leader is. They're just attacking the position. Everybody doing okay? I'm not foolish enough to think I'm a big enough target to the devil that he's actually personally coming after me because of who I am. He's just trying to keep me from serving God. He doesn't care what it takes. Now, you need to see that the opposition is not to you. The opposition is to God. And to whatever degree they are opposing you, they are opposing God first. Let me show you what I mean. This act of submission. Listen to this very carefully. This mess in Ferguson, Missouri, again a year later. It's all over submission. You know, if people would just listen to what leadership tells them to do, none of these cases would have even been in the news and nobody would have pulled a trigger, not once. Hasn't been one of the cases, Ferguson, New York City, Florida, hasn't been any of those anywhere where it was unprovoked and the person did, even Charleston, South Carolina, where the person did what the officer told them to do. I said this for the last many months. There's two words that would have solved every one of these situations. Yes, sir. Folks, I started driving, how long ago, Dad? 32 years ago. I had to think about that. I legally started driving 32 years ago. We won't talk about the others. But I started driving 32 years ago. Do you know that when I was a teenager, my dad taught me how to handle myself when I was driving, if I was ever pulled over? He said, if you get pulled over, whether you think you're right or wrong, you're wrong in the law's eyes and you do what the officer tells you to do. You keep your hands visible. You keep your hands up where they can see them at all times. If you're doing something wrong, that's fine. He'll take care of it. If you're not doing something wrong, that's okay too. Even if he charges with you something wrong, that's what the court system's for. You just follow what he says. Everything will turn out. My dad taught me that over 30 years ago. I've been stopped. I've not had a speeding ticket in 26 years and 1 month. All right, got one going to my wedding. That was it. All right, that was the last one. I've been stopped for other things. I got stopped going hunting one day. I had Brother Owens with me. We were driving to Rensselaer, Indiana. I was doing 65 on Route 65, headed south to Rensselaer. It started raining, and I was doing 65 miles an hour in a 65-mile-an-hour zone, and I got pulled over. I thought, I wonder if I have a light out. He said, sir, you're not speeding. I'm going to give you a written warning because I'm trying to slow down traffic. I said, you mean? He said, yep, I got to stop you for doing the speed limit. He said, doesn't happen very often. I'm just trying to slow things down. I thought, oh, great. Well, I got my hunting clothes on. I've got a big hunting knife inside my coveralls right here, and I've been stopped by a police officer. I got guns in the trunk. I got my hands on the steering wheel. I said, sir. I said, I'm going hunting. I have shotguns in the trunk, and I have a hunting knife on my right hip. He said, thanks for telling me. I said, I'm not moving till you tell me what to do and where to do it, sir. He laughed. He said, how about you step out? He said, just don't reach to the right side. He said, but I do need your wallet. I said, sir, there, it's in my back left hip pocket. He said, can you get to it other than going through your coveralls? I said, if you allow me to stand up, I can unzip them puppies and get right to it. But I'm not doing anything till I have permission, sir. He laughed and laughed. He said, anybody willing to tell me all this? We're in good shape. He said, just go ahead and get it, sir. I did. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Those types of actions would have solved 99% of the problems we've had in America in the last 12 months. We wouldn't have rioters in the streets. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Number one, and I promise you these are going to go fast. God is to be our security as a leader. Look at Psalm 119, verse 122. Be surety for thy servants for good. Let not the proud oppress me. The word surety means to give or be security. It literally means the word mortgage. Fellas, did you know that a house is your family's security? You taking care of a mortgage is building a security for your family. That is a surety. Means you've not overextended yourself. You can be sure you're going to be able to make your payment, and that gives stability and security to your family. This is, by the way, verse 122 is one of the two verses in the entire chapter that does not have one of the words in reference to the Word of God in it. But I want you to notice, It's directly to God. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. In other words, let God be your security. You see, leaders get security by following God and the Bible that does not change. Let me make a statement here. Leadership that's dependent on fellowship to give leadership security is pretty shaky leadership. Let me say that again. Hey, mamas, did you ever have one of those days where the kids disobeyed? Let me rephrase that. Did you ever have a day they didn't disobey? You see what I'm saying? If you were dependent on your child's obedience all day long for your leadership is not going to be sure. Do you know whether my children obeyed me or not? I had the security of knowing I obeyed God. And that was my security. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Hang on. Leaders have to satisfy self with obeying what they are to do and not the followers following. Let me make a statement here. If leadership was based on the followers, God would be a terrible leader. How many of his creation don't even recognize him as their God, and how many of his children have disobeyed him today? Probably all of them. For you to judge a leader based solely on the response of the follower, that is a false way to judge leadership. Everybody doing all right? I know what I'm talking about here. You say, why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone according to his own way. So, don't get so... let me use our kind of terminology. Don't get your nose bent so far out of shape if somebody's teenage child's struggling a little bit. Or their young adult child struggling a little bit. I don't care what the government says. It's not necessarily mommy and daddy's fault. I get sick and tired of the world that tells us if a child does wrong, it's automatically the parent's fault. Says who? My sin against God is not God's fault. That's my choice. Everybody doing okay? Your child's disobedience is not your fault. It's their fault. Quit beating yourself up. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. So, number one, God and the Word of God is to be our security as leaders. Number two, leaders need the Bible to help them see better. Look at verse number 123. Mine eyes fail. Notice that. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Did you know that sin causes people to not see as well? I'm not talking about if I take my glasses off that I can't read anything right now because I got old eyes. I'm talking about my ability to see life is hindered by sin. Everybody doing okay? Did you ever notice a drunkard doesn't make good decisions? Can I tell you why? Because of his sin. Did you ever notice that, the more you live in sin, the less likely you are to be able to see life clearly. The Bible is the truth that shows us a standard for what is right. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. How many of you in the last week jumped on a scale to find out how much you shouldn't weigh? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That thing has to be registered with a standard. That's why some of you fudge that little thing, oh, it can't be that much, and you move it about 5 or 10 pounds and say, that's better. I didn't ask for confessions now. Wait a minute here. There's got to be a standard. Brother Stoltz, can you hand me that level right there? Let me show you something here. This is a tool we used last week when we were over at Brother Arcola's. That is called a level. Now, that's a big one. We needed it because we were going across some pretty long areas there, but you can't see it, but right here, on this right here, this pulpit is level. Say, how do you know? Because that tube in there has liquid in it, and it's got one little air bubble in there. That air bubble equals the distance between the two marks in the middle of that tube, and when that bubble stays right between those marks, you know you're level. If I move it up like this, the bubble goes that way. If I move it up like this, the bubble goes that way, which means it's not level. That is a standard to see what is level and what is not level. That is so that you know each and every one of the beams that you put up in a room or that we put down on the floor in that basement to secure something. When we jammed another log up on top of the laminate beams, we checked it on all sides to make sure that it was level, so that it was straight, so that it could evenly distribute the weight. That was the standard we used. Did you know I've seen levels that aren't any bigger than that? And it's the same standard for that as it is for this big one. It is a standard. If you go get a pound of meat at the butcher shop, they're supposed to have those measuring machines calibrated so that everybody gets the exact same amount for a pound. Have you ever heard a butcher's... You know, they talk about a butcher having a heavy thumb because when they put the meat down, they'll push on it so they don't have to give you as much meat. Well, they've fixed those and digitized it. That's why you'll see somebody put things down and go like this, so that you see that they're not pushing on it or having a contrary weight to it. That is the standard by which something is measured. Can I tell you something, leaders? This is the standard by which we are to measure our lives. America is in trouble because we've gotten away from the standard. Listen to this statement, and I'm going to make some pretty harsh statements. Truth has to be the standard, or there is no standard at all. Truth has to be the standard, or there is no standard at all. Humanism has no standard. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes, that means every person is a god and there is no standard. Communism and socialism has no standard. The premise of humanism, communism, and socialism, all three are get rid of absolutes. There is to be no absolute. If there's absolute, there is a standard. That's why communist countries hate the Word of God. That's why socialist countries hate the Word of God. That's why humanist people hate the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth, and truth is a standard. The truths of the Word of God will open the eyes of people to see a standard that people that don't follow a standard are not following. That's why the Muslims want to kill all the Christians. They want the standard gone. Everybody doing okay? And I don't mean every person in the world that's a Muslim wants to kill every Christian. But if they're following what the Muslim doctrine is, they do. I must hurry. So, number one, God is the security of leaders. Leaders need the Bible to help them see better. And by the way, seeing this makes sure everything is right. That's the standard. Number three, and I'll hurry, leaders become better leaders by the oppression. Did you know leaders become better leaders because they're opposed to more? Look at verses 124 through 127. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Interesting statement. You ought to underline it. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. See, good leaders try to learn from their mistakes and keep them from imputing onto their followers. Did you know there's never been a leader other than God himself that never made a mistake? Did you know that there is more than one way to get something done? Do you know there's more than one way for me to go to my office from here? Now, the direct way is out one of these doors, through the door that most of you came through to get here, straight down the hall to my office on the left. But I could go out the side door, out and around the building, and back in. Or I could open the garage door and go out, or I could go around the building this way and get in. But I could go many different routes to get to my office. I could still end up at the same place. Now, to me, the smartest thing is shortest route. Amen. Say why? Because I'm lazy. I like that short route. But there is more than one way to get there. The fastest way is the way I generally choose. Now, watch this. Leaders have to realize not everybody's going to take the same way every time, but we can get them in the same place. Boy, that's a good statement. That means this. Good leaders are good listeners so that they don't make the same mistakes. Did you know I can lead Brother Barnes a little bit differently than I would lead, Brother Brining. Those are both good men. Both would do anything I asked them to do, probably, if it were physically possible. But both of them have a little bit different of a temperament. Now, I can get the same thing done. I just have to lead differently because I've learned to listen to both of them, find out what works, what doesn't work. That doesn't mean I'm manipulating people. I have three children. Do you know that when I talk to Josh, it's different than when I talk to Jeff? And when I talk to Jeff, it's different than when I talk to Mindy? And when I talk to Mindy, it's definitely different than the way I talk to her brothers. That doesn't mean I'm a bad leader. No, I understand who the followers are, and I got to help them at their level. Does that not make sense to everybody? Okay, hang in there. You see, good leaders take responsibility for their leadership, and they're not afraid to pass off some of the credit to the followers. But good leaders listen. People who oppress leadership make void their own success. Let me make a statement. People who oppress leadership make void their own success. Look at verse number 126 again, and I got to hurry here. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. The word void means to make useless. The total loss of potential. Worthlessness. Recently, my wife and daughter and I were back with some friends. And while we were there, I paid for something, and recently they sent me a check, and actually they knew I wouldn't take it, so they sent it to my wife. And they sent it to my wife and said, here's for what you paid for while you were here. And my wife wrote the word void on it and texted them back and said, you better add it back into your checkbook because I voided the check. And they said, you're as stubborn as your husband. She said, I learned from the best. And I love it. Now, listen to me. Do you know that we had the potential to cash that check? But we voided it, which means you can't cash it. It's worthless. You write the word void on a check, it is worthless. It's no more valuable than the piece of paper it's written on. No bank in the world gonna take it. Can I tell you something? When you start opposing leadership, you start writing void on your own success. When you start fighting leadership, when you start shirking your responsibility as a leader, you start voiding your own success. Boy, that's a good statement. Opposing leadership causes you to void potential success. Do you know the more you fight leaders, the less likely you are to move up in leadership? The Bible and its truths are more valuable than gold. Verse 127, the Bible talks about it being more valuable than gold, yea, than fine gold. You see, the Bible will teach you to help maintain what you do have. It also helps you to have harmony, and it helps you earn more than you could have on your own. Yesterday, I was mowing my yard. A few years ago, I bought a lawnmower. I bought one of those $99 specials. I've been nursing this thing. I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to last this year. Well, I got the backyard done yesterday. I had to go out to the front yard. The whole deck literally rusted apart. One wheel fell in where the T comes in, where the handle come in on the same side. Not the handle came off, the whole T came out of the deck. It was blowing blue smoke for a while. It wasn't doing real good. And there was oil in it, but the oil was going very quickly. I put more oil in it, and it was still blowing blue smoke. But when the handle finally broke out, did you know you can't mow with one part of the handle on? You can't guide that thing with one? I tried. I tried every which way except putting my foot on it and bending down and holding it like this and running because I wasn't going to do that. I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done buying $99 specials. Now, I didn't go out and spend $400 on a lawnmower, and I didn't need a riding lawnmower or anything else, but I got a decent mower. I got a rear bagger with self-propelled. You say, why? Because I'm fat and old, and I'm going to buy one and be done. Amen? This one's going to last me till I'm done mowing grass. I decided I was going to spend just a little extra money on it. I say, why? I don't have two boys mowing my grass anymore. I got to push that stupid thing. Now, wait a minute. I waited as long as I could. I got every last bit out of it. I showed my wife. She said, how in the world did you mow with that? I said, that's why I had to go get a new one. It just doesn't work anymore. Now, wait a minute. God will help you maintain what you have longer. All right? Number four, and I'm done. I promise you, in 2 or 3 minutes, we'll be done. Good leaders follow principles and not society and feelings. Look at verse number 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The word esteem means setting an order or arranging for battle. The word esteem, we would use a term in modern day vernacular, getting all your ducks in a row, okay? That's literally what the word esteem means. It means getting something ready so that it's ready for battle. The ladies that are helping me with the planning of the ladies' meetings, do you know we don't get down to this time of we're 3 days out from a ladies' meeting, we're not in panic mode. Say, why? Because we planned this thing months and months and months and months ago. We've been planning it for months. It's been coming together, and we're just ready for it. We've gone through it. We organized it. We planned it. We arranged it. We've got everything coming in, and they'll start decorating and have it done probably by tomorrow afternoon, and everything will be ready. Say, why? Because it's been planned that way. It's been esteemed. It's important enough to plan. Good leaders follow the principles when, not if, but when the battles come by oppression. Did you know just because you're opposed doesn't mean you change what you're supposed to do? Did you know if somebody slams the door in your face when you go soul winning, you don't quit soul winning? You go to the next door. Do you know if somebody cusses you out, not if, when, you don't stop soul winning, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Do you know if you're trying to help somebody and you get criticized for it, you keep helping somebody whether you're criticized or not? If you're doing it for the praise of men, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. You see, don't base everything you do on your emotions. Yes, God gave you emotions, but your emotions will lie to you. Ladies especially, your emotions will lie to you. Did you know that men face emotions too? We're just generally not guided by them. You see, good leaders let principle tell them what to do, not their feelings, not their emotions. Good leaders see how lying and deceit hurts everybody. Now, watch this. Did you know that Satan not only hurt himself when he sinned? Satan hurt God. Satan hurt the angels that fell. Satan hurt the angels that remained in heaven. Satan hurt man. Satan hurt the earth. And Satan hurt heaven by his sin. His sin was far more reaching than just Satan himself. By the way, your sin is far more reaching than just yourself. See, good people always get hurt in lies. Don't lie to your children. Tell them the truth. Everybody doing okay? Don't lie to your spouse. Tell them the truth. Young people, quit lying to your mom and your dad. Tell them the truth, whether it helps you or hurts you. It'll hurt worse because you lied, I promise you. Believe me, I tried that once, and I hurt for 3 days, all right? But I hate false doctrine. You're looking at one preacher that hates false doctrine. It sends people to hell, and it wastes potential for God. Every time I see a Catholic priest or a Catholic nun or what do they call those guys that wear the dark robes? A monk, that's it. The monk. Every time I see these Muslims in their full garb, I look at that and say, what a waste of potential. What a waste of loyalty. What a waste. They are founded and steeped in bad doctrine, and they're literally going to hell, and all of that loyalty that they have for it, if they could just get the truth, just get turned around and use that for God instead of against God, look how much better things could be. I'm done. If you're a leader of any kind, you're going to face oppression. You're going to face opposition. Sin causes it. Expect it. Don't get discouraged by it. The Bible, and using the Bible, and using the truths of the Bible, and learning the Bible, and practicing the Bible, will keep you from going crazy while you're being oppressed as a leader. I promise you. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're done, but I wonder how many times we as leaders have let the opposition beat us. We gave in to the fellowship because it was oppressing us so much that we gave in. Amazing how a little child can cause an adult to give in their leadership. Don't give in. You do right. Face that opposition and go on. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come. We can show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Maybe you just need to come use this altar. Make a decision that you're going to obey and be a better leader and face that better as